I wanted to ask if you consider yourself an environmentalist.
I consider myself to be a pragmatist.
Okay.
You know, and I love the natural environment, and I really enjoy every opportunity I have. As I said, is that my kids grew up camping. You know, I've always enjoyed the outdoors, and I think sometimes the term environmentalist is too strict. It's too one-dimensional for me to feel confident in designating myself that way. I think there are people who do perceive themselves as, you know, this is my central priority in life, is to ensure that the environment is protected, and that's really where I devote my effort. Mm-hmm. I see my job as mayor is to create a vibrant economy, you know, to create a social infrastructure that where people can enjoy each other and where people can come together and in a sense of community. I think that's so crucial to me. And I think that having a beautiful environment is conducive to all of those things happening and necessary mm-hmm. to be able to have a quality of life. But I don't see doing one at the expense of the other. You know, I see it as being trying to accomplish all of those goals. Now, that makes the job a lot more difficult because it's always easier to focus on one task and to have one priority. If you say, I'm a businessman, I'm here to make money, and the one thing I want to do in the world is create a vibrant business that's going to make a lot of money, and I don't really care, you know, about social infrastructure or environment, is that this is what I'm interested in. It's so one-dimensional, and it's so lacking in what really makes a successful business, because a successful business is always about people, right? And it's always about whether or not you're conscious of your impact on the things that surround you. And so, you know, by pigeonholing yourself in one area, you can somehow become one-dimensional, and you forget that we work in three dimensions, and that the idea of sustainability is much more fulsome in what it's trying to accomplish than purely how do I protect the environment.
Yes. You grew up in East Vancouver, so now I'm wondering where your environmental ethic originated. Do you know what the sources are?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, it's a story I don't tell very often, but I think, you know, one of the benefits is, like, when you're an East Van kid with a single parent, you know, and you're raised in sort of neighborhoods where it's rough and tumble, you know, it can be very difficult. But when I was in grade 4, I was taken out of East Vancouver and I was sent to a school in the west side of Vancouver. And so I was sent to an accelerated program because I was doing well in school, and it was recognized that I wasn't going to continue to do well if I didn't get stimulation, if I wasn't put in a situation where I was going to be stimulated. So they sent me by bus to a school in Queen Elizabeth School over on 16th Avenue in Dunbar. And that school was right on the endowment lands, oh. right on the in the middle of the endowment lands. And I went to that school from grade 4 through 7. And I was taken out of East Vancouver, and I was put in with the children of university professors and lawyers and, you know, business people in an area that was much more affluent and challenged, you know, to be. And I realized that I was just as smart as all of these kids. And I was exposed then to University of British Columbia, and went out and went swimming at Empire Pool. And, you know, so all of these things were really you know, stimulating. And then I went back to East Vancouver for high school and started at Tupper High School when I was in grade 8. But I'd been imprinted, you know, in the sense that I had a much broader view of the world, and I had much greater confidence. And so I knew where I wanted to go. I knew what I wanted to do. I knew what I was capable of. And part of the experience I had when I was Queen Elizabeth School was that you were right in the middle of the endowment lands. So it meant I was out in those woods all the time. You know, is that I considered it to be my backyard. And so exploring the woods, building tree forts, doing all of those things was something that was part of my growing up with kids that from my neighborhood. So I had a chance to not be in the situation that might have been much more restrictive, mm-hmm. and had a lot of doors open to me, you know, and it's what made me so conscious of the reality of that a high tide floats all boats. And so, you know, you in Burnaby, you'll notice that there are no poor areas. Is that I have been devoted throughout my career to integrated communities. There is no East and West Burnaby. There's no areas of our city that are ghettoized. There's no place where people are not going to be mixing with people who come from more affluent backgrounds, because the more challenges there are within schools, within communities, the more kids are mixed together, the more chance that their expectations rise. Mm-hmm. And that no matter what your situation is at home, if you're going to school with kids who expect to go to university, you'll learn to expect the same thing. Mm-hmm. So that's been kind of a fundamental tenet of the way I've worked in governing Burnaby, and the way I've you know, been trying to build a sense of community here, and it's been very successful. You'll look at the four quadrants of our city, and you'll see a balance, you know, of economic and demographic backgrounds. You'll see that there is no high school in Burnaby where, affluent or not, you wouldn't send your child, you know, and that creates a community that's much more egalitarian.
Mm-hmm. I guess we're just about out of time, so I just wanted to ask what you think is the future for the urban forest on Burnaby Mountain.
Well, I think that as our population grows, it's always difficult, you know, in the sense that more and more people put more and more strain on urban forests, mm-hmm. You know, and uses, you know, change, and people sometimes are less respectful. You know, they begin to do things that can cause damage to those areas. And you know, while one doesn't want to put it in terms of restricting people from having access, sometimes that's the only alternative, is to start to do more to try to protect the areas from human interference. So I think that's going to be the biggest area, is being able to educate people to be respectful of the urban forests, while at the same time giving them opportunities to still enter and be part of that natural environment, because yes, you know, it's part of their community, it's something that all of them enjoy and want to have. But we have to be ever more responsible, because there are more of us. Mm-hmm. And so I see the biggest issue we're going to have to deal with is a rapidly increasing population and a more enhanced desire on the part of citizens to expose themselves to areas that are natural environment. You know, people being much more conscious of the idea they want to get out and see mm-hmm. nature.
Yes. Well, Mayor Corrigan, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for having this interview with me.
It's been my pleasure. It's nice to go back and reminisce about all these things that have happened over a very long career in politics.
Yes. Well, thank you again. I'll stop there.